Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Portland Trailblazers got thumped last night.
Mollywopped?
Yep. The final score, 139-104 in the opener. What we did not want to see at any point was the Blazers getting beat by 35 points, right? That was kind of our marker, right? Keep games tighter.
Mm-hmm.
Especially against the upper echelon teams. Like last year was like the 50-point losses, the 40-point losses, 35-point losses, where you're just like, oh my gosh, this can't be it. And I think the most discouraging thing about the way the Blazers came out of the gate was you open it with a 35-point loss against a team that I don't think is an upper echelon team in the West. Like, the Golden State Warriors are good.
Yes.
But they are not an elite
team
like
in the West. They're like a 46-win team.
And they're not the Warriors that we're used to.
No, but they're going to be feisty, and Buddy Hield is going to be a pretty decent Klay Thompson substitute. What I thought last night was the Blazers weren't really able to be as impactful with their size as they wanted to be. You had a lot of guards torturing the Blazers last night for the Warriors. Chauncey Billups in the post game said, you know, the line that's getting a lot of traction is not a single player played well. And I think to that extent, yes, I think it's right. But he also had a line that he said, I think for the first time in a month, we came out and we didn't have the energy and we were not prepared and we didn't have the focus. He goes, to be honest, all preseason and all through camp, I think we've had it. And if you just rewind to Friday against the Utah Jazz, we had people talking about how this team might actually win 40 games. Like people like, oh, so the focus and the dedication and the effort and the intensity and hustle, it didn't just disappear from Friday until Wednesday.
Yeah.
And what ended up happening, I think, is, and you can say this is coaching, you can say whatever you want it, but DeAndre Ayton, Denny Avdia, Jeremy Grant, basically everyone said that they had jitters and they were pressing. Mm-hmm. And which is kind of weird.
Yeah. But especially from your vets to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. As bad as that was, 139-104, and you lose. I thought for, and this is what I said walking in today, as you and I were walking in from the parking lot,
yeah,
is that I will give the Trailblazers, I thought they played decent for 2 1/3 of a quarter. Mm. And I went back, and as I was thinking about it, like, it was at about that 7:40 mark of the third quarter, I looked and I was like, they're only down 10.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the things that we were hoping to see, the effort-wise, the pushing a little bit more of the tempo, active hands. I mean, and I went back and I looked at it, at the 7:34 remaining in the third quarter, okay? The Blazers were losing 70-60 while shooting 4 of 19 from 3, which, yeah, against the Golden State Warriors, I don't care if Klay Thompson's there, I don't care if this is the, you know, light years Warriors that were winning championships and elite, you're still not going to be competitive against a team that, the Golden State Warriors especially, shooting 4 of 19 from 3. As long as Steph Curry can shoot the basketball, he is not, you can't shoot that poorly from beyond the arc. Yet, it was a 10-point game, and the thing that I liked about the way the Blazers were playing is that in that, they had 7 steals to that point. They were winning the turnover battle 12-8, and you're going, okay, it felt like the Blazers, for the first time watching them, they actually were playing like Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum were no longer on the team.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like all last year they were still playing like Dame and CJ were there, and
sure,
it was like
stylistically it did not, yeah, no,
and this is not that team.
No,
and it finally, it felt like that, and then the wheels fell off at that point, 7.5 to go in the third quarter. The wheels fell off and the Warriors absolutely thumped them.
Let's start at the top and then kind of work our way through into the game. This is kind of the I told you so, in the general sense. The Blazers starting lineup is going to be competitive. It's not great, but it's going to be competitive. Where the drop off is going to occur is when those guys leave the floor on general nights. Now, Ant, Jeremy, DA, they were subpar last night. And if two of those three aren't good to great, you're going to struggle in games.
Yep.
But if they all struggle, you're going to have that. Because everyone's like, well, Scoot needs to play more, and Two needs to play more, and Robert needs to play more, and Donovan needs to play more. I'm like, then you will lose by 60. I love those guys.
Scoot was tough to watch in the opener last night.
He had one spurt where I thought he had a plan, and he was effective. The rest of the game, it was pretty bad. But the Blazers, this isn't a Warriors game situation. This is going to be a season-long thing. I wrote about this last night when I got home. The Blazers have a math problem, and it is very simple. They only have one guy on the entire team who can consistently generate his own shot at every single level. That is Anthony Simons. He is the only one on the team who can consistently generate his shot on every single level.
No doubt. And when he's shooting 2 of 7 from beyond the arc, you're in hell.
And when he's only taking 12 shots, you're in hell. Ant needs to take at minimum 18 shots a night.
Yeah.
Because he's going to set the table for everybody else. His gravity, his ability to space the floor, his threat at all three levels is the domino that pushes everything else forward, right? So he's rusty. He's coming out of preseason with one game in the ankle. And you know, I talked to him after the game. I asked how he was doing. He said he's fine. And I think he'll be fine, and it'll take him a week to kind of round into form. It doesn't excuse the performance last night. He knows he didn't play well. Jeremy, if the ball goes in, it looks different. All of this stuff said, in that first quarter and a half, there were a couple things that legitimately stood out to me as this is different.
Yeah.
I thought they played with pace and purpose in the first quarter and a half. They were getting into their sets. When I go back and watch the film today, I'm very interested to see how many shots or how many times they got into stuff with 18 or more seconds still on the shot clock. Like, they got down the floor and got into it.
Pace,
and got shots
pace,
up
pace.
Quick.
And it's not pace from beyond the arc. Like, I was texting my buddy last night about as we were watching the game, and it was like, this team is going to be really good from 18 feet and in.
They got downhill. And Denny's a big, big, big part of that. DeAndre Ayton didn't have a great box score night at the end of the night, but you know what he did? He played at the rim or at the three-point line the majority of the game. He took two middies last night, and he didn't take his first one until the third quarter. Beyond that, he attacked with the ball in his hands. Like, DA is a guy that historically his assist rate, like needing to be set up, is one of the highest in the league, which is pretty typical for big men. Not many bigs can create on their own. But
everybody watches Jokic and Wimby and are like, be that guy.
Yeah, be that guy. Nobody else can do that. There's like four guys in the whole league that can create their own shot as a big. But DA attacked the closeout, threw down a dunk. He did a post-up where he literally put the ball on the floor multiple times and spun in and drove. And then he took corner threes.
Early in the third quarter, there was a moment where he slid from the near block and he got a steal underneath the basket. It was like, okay, they're actually moving. There were some bright spots.
Yeah. No, but again, these were like little cherries that you're picking. They weren't like overarching stories from the night.
Those are the things that this year, with 81 games left,
what you have to enjoy.
You're going to have to look for. Mm-hmm. The most discouraging part is this one, like from the Vancouver Ford text line. I don't want a Blazer team winning a single game, but I don't want to see 82 blowouts. I want to see effort. Yeah. I want to see the next 81 games lost by 1 point in the last minute. I want them to out-effort every team and lose every game.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, that was the most discouraging part. Yeah, is because when the wheels fell off, it turned into an absolute dumpster fire. And that right there, in game one, that's why it's the most discouraging thing, is because it's game one. If that continues to happen, that's how you become the Washington Wizards.
Yes.
That's how you become the Detroit Pistons. That's where your losing culture just says, nope, done, we're out. And that is the worst thing that you can have as a fan base.
And the thing that I went back to this is, last year, even after the 50 and 60 point losses, they still played hard for Chauncey, and the effort was still there. And I think through the preseason, it has been there. What's going to remain to be seen is if this is a one off. But if this if this is a thing where you get 25 games into the season and you're having multiple effort nights, Chauncey Billups will not make it through the season.
Out of the first 31 games, how many are against Western Conference
28.
Teams?
28.
Oh.
And they open the season with five and seven nights. You're going to get multiple opportunities to see this team. They could very, very easily play the Pelicans. They play them twice, Friday and Sunday. Win one of those games right out of the chute and look relatively decent. You go, oh!
It's especially with DeJounte Murray broke his hand last night.
Trey Murphy still dealing with a hamstring.
Yeah.
It was a very discouraging night outside of the first quarter. It's interesting how Donovan Clingan and Zach Edey for the Grizzlies. Did you see Edey? He fouled out.
I did see that he did foul out. Yeah.
I wonder if the Blazers truly missed out by not drafting him. Same with
Connect.
The one game overreactions over rookies is one of my favorite things. But
yeah.
I thought Donovan looked very, very, very similar to how he did in the preseason and how he did in Summer League, in the sense of his first appearance in Summer League, his first appearance in the preseason, his first appearance in the regular season. He's got Golden Retriever energy. He's a little too amped, and you see him get gassed. Let's see what it looks like the rest of the season. Because in Summer League, in the preseason, after he got that out of the way, he looked so much more confident, so much more comfortable. He's still just young. I wasn't surprised by what I saw from him last night, just from what we've seen from him already, and I think he'll be fine.
I can handle losing. That's what this team is going to do a lot of. I do not want, it is the 35-point loss to a team that will be a good, not great team. They'll be the back-end playoff team in the West. I do not like to see a 35-point loss out of the gate. That was the discouraging part. There were the little glimmers, and that's what we're going to be watching all
year
long.
And it was few and far between. And look,
yeah,
the math problem is the bigger issue, I think, for this team.
Can't shoot.
It's boiled down to that game. It was an exaggeration because it was the Warriors. But if you're only hitting 8 threes and your opponent is hitting 20, think about that is a 36-point difference. You have to shoot 70%+ from the paint and be plus 20 from the free throw line to compensate from that.
This text, Vancouver 4 text line, it looked like they had good energy last night. They just couldn't knock down shots. Get used to it.
I thought that was the case early in the game, and I thought that
just get used to it.
It was disheartening for them, and they didn't do well. And then the Warriors, because they're so veteran laden,
are they going to all of a sudden magically become knockdown shooters?
So they have to find ways to manufacture points to stay in games, which comes from the energy, the hustle, and all the intensity stuff that goes with it.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.